This year I want to spend the time on hopefully covering topics that will each study a different topic related to the coming week's parsha. So a halacha topic, sometimes it'll be very obvious, the connection, because the parsha is full of mitzvos, and other times it'll be less obvious because there are many parshas that don't have that many mitzvos. But that's okay. We'll manage. I'll worry about that when we get there. This week I want to speak about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. Shiluach HaKein, sending away, Kein just means a nest, sending away the mother bird to take the chicks or the eggs, which is the mitzvah of Parshas Kisei, this coming week's parsha. And I want to address a couple of points. Just think about a couple of questions that may come up, which I want to address as well. Number one, every mitzvah, when we speak about a positive mitzvah, one of the questions that comes up is, do I make a bracha or not? Think about the positive mitzvahs you do. You have shofar and lulav and sukkah and tzitzis and tefillin. All positive mitzvahs, generally speaking, we make brachas. There are positive mitzvahs in which we don't make brachas. You don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah, as an example. You don't make a bracha on the positive mitzvah of kibbutz avayim. So we'll have to discuss a little bit about brachas. That's one issue I want to talk about. Number two, there's a general question whether the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein is a mitzvah that applies to a person even if you don't want to take the chicks or the eggs. Now, the pasuk says ki kare kan sipor lefanecha. Ki kare, the Gemara says, is prat lemezuman, which means it excludes a case where something is very much in front of you, you're very aware of it. That's not the case. The case is happenstance. You happen to be traveling, baderech, and you happen to notice. So that's the general mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. So there is a discussion, which we're going to get to in a moment, in the Gemara in Chulin. This is a whole parak in Maseches Chulin called Shiluach HaKein. Not a long parak, but it's about that mitzvah. And here, if you look at the Gemara in Chulin, this is Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amid Beis, page 278. So I have here a brisa that I want you to look at. So I'm one of the sides of the sheet here. Tana Rabban says the brisa. So watch this. Ki kare kan sipor lefanecha. Ma tamu lomar. What is the pasuk teaching me by telling me ki kare, if it happens to be that you chance upon a nest of birds? What is that pasuk coming to teach me? So the Gemara explains why I need that phrase, what that phrase comes to teach me. It says you shall surely send away the mother bird and take the children. Yachol, I would have had a hava amina. Yachzor beharim ugvaos kidesha yimtza kain. Fascinating. I would have thought, oh, shaleach de shalach, send away the mother bird. This is a mitzvah. You want to be able to do this mitzvah. There's something very special about this mitzvah, something very unique about this mitzvah. And therefore, I would have thought that this is something you should do. Shaleach to shalach. I'm just looking on with these guys because I didn't make as many comments. That I should send away the mother bird under all circumstances, to the extent that I should go around, I should seek in the harim, in the mountains, and in the gvaot, and in the hills, to find myself a kain. Interesting. Look at the havamim. Shaleach shalach esaim, send away the mother bird. I would have thought, oh, this is such an important mitzvah, you want to go out of your way to try to perform it. So you happen to be traveling, you're taking a trip. You're taking a trip here and going in the main road. No, main road. Don't go in the main road. You happen not to find any nests where there are birds. I would like you, maybe I would have thought, go to be mechapes yachzor beharim ugvaos. Why don't you go off the beaten path? Let's go off to the side. Let's go through the mountains and the valleys and the, right, wherever you may be, in the hills. Maybe you'll be able to find yourself a nest where there are birds so you can fulfill the mitzvah. Shalech v'shalach, a positive commandment. Says the Gemara, Tamu Lomar, Ki-yi-kare. No ki-yi-kare. Happenstance. You chance upon it. Bima-ora lifanecha. Where it happens to be in front of you. Period. End of Gemara. So what do you see from here? That there is no mitzvah, there is no obligation for me to go out of my way to perform this mitzvah. It's only if it comes to me. So here comes the question. Okay, I'm driving down this road. I'm going on a trip. I'm running in the morning, right? Instead of looking at all the skunks that I meet up with in the morning, or the deer that are now coming into the Tine community, Muncie has sent them into us. Come on in. Pull up a chair. So maybe I should go out of my way to be looking for an S so I can fulfill this great mitzvah. After all, the Torah says, I have a long life, whether it means a long life in this world or maybe a long life in the next world, says the Pasuk, there's no obligation to do so. However, where you chance upon it, where it does come to you, now that's what the Pasuk's talking. So what's the problem? Go ahead.
Maybe this mitzvah is not really about the mitzvah itself. Maybe it's more to teach us something like that, like more like a lesson that you should be taught, like about sympathy and empathy.
Okay, so there's definitely a message in that. If that's so what is it? That's a reason to do the mitzvah, a reason not to do the mitzvah. To do the mitzvah, go out of it. Good, so we're going to talk about that. Yes. Right. So you say that. Right. So that may be. Does that have to do with the mitzvah that comes upon me? I hear what you're saying. You want to say nothing's really by chance. The fact that it happened. So that's what Hashem wanted.
You should do it.
I should, right? So for me to go out of my way, but that may be a good reason why I don't have to go out of my way. Because if Hashem wants it to happen, it's going to happen. That may be interesting.
Maybe it's not mitzvah like Yishus Bas Torah, which isn't really a mitzvah. It's more in the situational thing that when you happen to find it, this is what you're supposed to do. Not that. It's actually
meant to
do it this way.
Right, okay.
Guidelines, not actual.
Excellent. So I want to pick up on that point, because listen to this. The Chavos Yoyim, one of the great Achronim, makes the following comment. He says, I see from here, and something we would have thought not so, coming into this Gemara, I would not have thought this way. He says like this. Notice what the Gemara did say. The Gemara said, I would have thought from the word shalach to shalach, I would have an obligation to go around to try to perform the mitzvah. Kamash malan ki kare kansi por. No, you don't have to go out of your way. Only when it happens to be in front of you. You happen to be walking down the street, you're going for a ride, I'm traveling, and I happen to see a nest with chicks and a mother bird. Says the Chavos Yoyim, what do you see from there? That if it does chance upon me, I do chance upon that, then I now do have the obligation to send away the mother bird. Despite the fact that I don't want what?
The
I don't want the chicks.
So you have to take
it. That's what he says. So watch what he gets. No, I don't have to take it. But the Chavos Yoyim says like this. The Havamin of the Gemara was what? Oh, I would have thought I should go out of my way to try to perform this mitzvah. Kamash Molon, you don't have to go out of your way to perform the mitzvah. You only have to perform the mitzvah when? When it's there in front of you. When it's there in front of me. So it sounds like from the Gemara that I now do have to perform the mitzvah. But why? What if I don't want the eggs or the chicks? The fact that the Gemara is saying that I would have thought I have to go out. Why would I have thought I'd go after my way? I don't want any chicks. So the answer is it may not matter. I would have thought I have to go out of my way. Kamash Balam, you don't have to go out of your way. But if you didn't go out of your way and it's right in front of you, then guess what? You better do the mitzvah, even though you don't want the chicks. That's a comment. Some Achronim believe that the halacha applies, Shiluach HaKein will apply, even if you're not interested in taking the chicks or the eggs, you have to perform the mitzvah. And most Achronim disagree. Most claim that's not what the Gemara means. There would have been a Havamina. I mean, there's a Zohar that claims, listen to this, that the sending away of the mother bird, the idea that the mother bird is sent away, and I would have thought that maybe I should go out of my way to look for this scenario, to look for this situation, to perform the mitzvahs, because the mother bird being sent away and now looking around for its chicks, the Zohar claims, is actually almost like an atonement for the Jewish people, because it's like the Jewish people in Gullus. It's like the Jewish people, or like the Ribono Shel Olam goes. Hashem is looking for his people. The idea that we're in exile, that we're looking around, where is our home? Where are my children? Where have it? So that's a reminder. Think about the fact when I send away the mother bird, that's like Hashem who's looking for his children and we're nowhere to be found. We're nowhere to be found. Maybe physically we know where we are, but spiritually we're very, very lost. So that idea metaphysically has great power in hopefully bringing the ultimate geula. So one would have thought, based on that Zohar, maybe I should go out of my way then to perform this mitzvah. Kamash malan, I don't have to. But the fact that, to say that just because the Gemara gave this hava, I mean, I would have thought I have to go out of my way to look for it, that doesn't necessarily mean that just because now that it happens to be in front of me, that I have the obligation to send away the mother bird. If I don't want the chicks or the eggs, I'm under no obligation to do that. So that's one thing to keep in mind. That machlokas achronim, most achronim believe only if you want the chicks or the eggs, do you have to send away the mother bird. And a minority will claim the mitzvah, if you happen to see it, then you want to do so. And men in great gedolah have done that. If the situation would arise, they want to say that I don't want the chicks necessarily, I want to send away the mother bird just to perform this mitzvah. When do you get an opportunity to perform the mitzvah? Shiluach hakeh. So that's something to keep in mind. Yeah.
So if I just send away the mother bird, I don't have to take the eggs.
That's correct. You fulfill the mitzvah, right? There's no necessary. You send away the mother bird. That's then I'm whatever I would like to do. Yeah.
Can you do it more than once?
So how do you do it more than once? So in a different situation you can, but the Gemara says shaleach to shalach is a double language, even many times. Meaning if the mother would fly back, I send her away again. But I could do the mitzvah now. In a person's life, you may say, I want to try to at least do this mitzvah one time. But I could do it many times. I get many mitzvahs if I like. But some people's like writing a Sefer Torah. Right? How many people commission a sofer to write a Sefer Torah? They spend, you know, $30,000, $40,000 on a Sefer Torah. How many times do you do that in your life? You do it once. I fulfill the mitzvah. One time I want to do it once in my life. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be kind of like also like a mitzvah and a vera? Because if you send away the mother bird, wouldn't it be like tzabal lefayim? Because either the eggs or the chicks would die.
Okay, so that
an issue?
Right. Is there an issue with tzabal? So the tzabal lefayim is a general question. Whether that, what that applies to, what kind of animals it applies to. You know, would it apply to the eggs? Probably not. Would it apply to the chicks? Maybe yes. And what kind of tzar are we talking about? The Gemara assumes that the tzar we speak of is, let's say, the example where an animal has a very heavy burden on it, mm-hmm. and then I help unload it. Emotional tzar, I'm not certain that that's something we always take into account. There are halachos about that. By the way, there's, I don't know if you know, there's a famous comment, one of the mafarshim explained that the reason why you can't plow with a shor and a chamor together, you know, not allowed to do that, kosher and non-kosher animal. So why? What's the problem? So the problem is that it causes it's a psychological or emotional tzar. What is that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the chamor is walking together with the shor. The shor is a ruminant, right? It chews its cud, and the chamor doesn't. That's what makes it non-kosher. So as they're walking, what happens? It's like me taking you out to lunch for pizza, which I never do for a simple reason: I don't have time. Or because I love pizza, but I can't eat it. So you guys are eating pizza. I'm just sitting there like, I hope you're enjoying yourselves. It tastes good, doesn't it? So that's what's happening. The shore keeps chewing again because it chews its cud. Having a good time. I'm having a good time on this trip. It's like I'm on a trip and there's no food. There's no lunch. Right? So one guy has lunch and the guy doesn't have lunch. So the chamor is finished eating. He's done. Now he's hungry. The shore's like, no, I'm not done eating. What do you mean? I chew it. It's coming back up again, and I'm going to chew it once again. And they're walking together, so that's very painful. So there are times where there is such a tzar as well. I'm not sure if that would apply here, but it's an interesting point. Yeah?
Isn't the whole point of shooing the mother bird away is then to take the eggs? You could, because you're winning.
Because you want it. It's only because. That's why that the opinion of the Chavasir is very difficult for us. Because we assume, no, what I want, it's only because I want to take the eggs that have the obligation. Nonetheless, those who claim from this Gemara are not so. Yeah.
Two things. One about what you said, the chicks aren't going to die with a single wives' tail, but birds die without suppressing them.
Okay.
But also, is this opinion that you have to do if you come across an anthropomorphism in Kharidi circles? They've seen a couple of videos of Kharidi children and elders, like, walking past the bird's nest and attacking some of the birds that would go away and just keeping on walking.
I don't know. I don't. I mean, the Gemara has, let's say, for example, you have, let's say there's a nest in a person's backyard or something like that. So is it a chatzer that's mishtameres or not? Chatzer that's not mishtameres may have the status of a rishus harabim, even a rishus hayachid. It may have the status, the din may still apply. So mizuman, so I'm not sure there are circumstances that are happenstance, but maybe in people's yards, whatever, it may be different. So the kids who are, you saying the kids are doing the mitzvah, or they're just doing it as a joke, or?
No, the parents are encouraging them, so say attention, like, especially on the side of the highway or on the side of the road.
Right, yeah, so we would encourage, you have to realize, we would encourage people to do the mitzvah, even though you don't want the chicks. That doesn't mean that I don't fulfill the mitzvah. The question is there a mitzvah chiyuvit upon me to do it when I see it, even though I don't want the chicks? That's the machlokes. Do I fulfill a mitzvah if I decide to do so? Yeah, and the answer is I do. Yeah.
But what do the rabbis care if it's a mitzvah or not? Because first of all, you're not doing anything bad by shooing away the mother bird. So why are they concerned that you might do it, go out of your way to do it?
No, they're not concerned. The question is, should I? Is there something praiseworthy about someone who would? Okay, so I want to get to one other point, which is critical in analyzing this mitzvah, and that is as follows. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is unique in that it's not just a mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah lo saseh. Lo sika ha'em al habanim. Don't take the mother, right, along with the children, in other words, right, with the children there, rather, shaleach teshalach esa'em. So that's interesting. What it's saying is that there's a lot, meaning if I went over to the nest and I didn't send away the mother bird and I took the chicks, that's a Torah prohibition. I could get malchus for that. I actually did something wrong. I didn't send away the mother bird. So it's important to keep in mind that there are two mitzvahs working here. There's a lav and an asay that it worked together. I'll give you another example of such a thing. Hashavas aveidah. How does Hashavas aveidah work? So the Torah says, Hashav tishivim lachicha, I want you to return the lost object, the lost animal, to your brother. But there's also a lav. What's the lav? What's the lotasay that's incurred? Okay, don't keep it for yourself. But even there's even less of an issue. Something that's less severe. Lo sukal.
You're not able to hide yourself from it.
Right. Lo sukal es alein. I can't even ignore it. I can't make believe that I don't see it. Lo sukal es alein. So there also, there's a lav, a lo tasei, and an asei that go together, that work together. Another example. The mitzvah of makeh. Lo tasinda min beveisecha. You have a roof, you have to put a fence around it. That's at least 10 tzvachim high. Because lo yipol hanofel nimeh, we don't want anyone to get hurt. So we have an obligation to do so. But there's also the law. Lo tasin dam min beveisecha, don't allow people to get hurt. So here, again, we never look at shofar, we don't say, don't do the following, rather blow shofar. We don't say in sukkah, don't do the following, rather eat in the sukkah. You don't have that. Lulav, don't do this. Don't prick someone with this, right, with the lulav, right? Don't poke them in the eye. Rather pick it up regularly, right? That's not that the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to take the lulav. And here, yet, we have a mitzvah saseh that's somehow connected to the lo saseh. And that's important because that will play a role, A, in whether we recite a bracha or not, which we'll get to, which I mentioned in the very beginning, and a big problem that Tosus and the Raman address here in Maseches Kiddushin, if you turn over the page. So look what this Gemara says in Kiddushin. This is a Gemara in Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, and the Gemara here speaks about Mitzos Asei Shehazman Grama. Mitzos Asei Shehazman Grama. We have mitzos that are related to time, that are dependent on time. We know what they are. Lulav and shofar and sukkah and many of the mitzvos, which women are exempt from, there are mitzvos, such as mangam, which are chayavim. Kiddush, because it's connected, shom v'zachor, they can't do the lavin, so you have to follow that. Matzah, which relates to the yitzhar of chametz, so women are obligated to eat matzah, even though it's time dependent. and several others. And then the Gemara here has a list of mitzvos asei, shelo hazman glama, which are not dependent on time, and thus women are going to be chayv. What are those? So the top line says, ve'ezo hi mitzvas asei shelo hazman glama. So look at the four examples the Gemara gives. Mezuzah, not dependent on time. Whenever you buy a house, you put up a mezuzah. Ma'akeh, gave that example. Aveda, right? Mitzvah Hashem is Aveda, not dependent on time. It depends not that there's no date in the calendar where you have to do Hashem's Aveda. It depends on whether someone loses something. And Mishiluach Hakein, our example also, certainly not dependent on time. On the contrary, if this is chance, whenever it happens, that's when you do the mitzvah. So Tosus raises a major question on this Gemara. And the background to the question is as follows. Everybody here knows that although women are exempt from mitzvah saseh shazman grama, they're obligated in every lotase except three. Anyone know what the three? Three lotases women are exempt from. One is cutting off the tais. One is shaving the beard. And none is benos aharon. Women who are the daughter of a Kohen are allowed to come in contact with the dead. They can go to a funeral, go to the cemetery, etc. Those are the only negative commandments women are chayav. Positive commandments, there depends on Zman Grama. Negative commandments, except for those two, the chayav and everything. Could we have to say a woman doesn't have to worry about Lashon Hara? Doesn't have to worry about shatnez, doesn't have to worry about onas, devarim, poking fun at people? Of course, they're chayav in all those sases. Every lotase, the Gemara Bava Kama says, every lotase applies to women as well. Asks Tosus, take a look. Look at Tosus Mach, Aveda, Shiluach HaKeh. Tema. Okay? Right? Tema Lorebi. So he says, the following was astonished to one of the Balei HaTosus. Bechol Hani Ksiv Lav. All of these examples, leaving mezuzah out, makeh, aveda, shiluach hakein, all have a negative commandment associated with them. B'makeh ksiv lo tasim damim neveisecha. You're not allowed to place blood in your house. Don't have a roof with access to a roof, and there's no fence on the roof. It's dangerous. It's a violation of the Torah. Even though the Gemara happens to establish that refers to one who raises a dog who is wild or has a shaky ladder in his house, that's where you actively did something wrong. You bought this wild dog and you're raising it, or you put up this shaky ladder. That's obviously prohibited. That sima be a dying where you're doing something actively. Hold on 1 second. Mikom makom asina milamake. That lav, that lotase applies to a person who has an obligation to put up a make as well. The hadashi v'sifri v'asisa. When it says v'asisa make v'gagecha, zu mitzvah sase. This is all in the sifri. The sifri is the medrash halacha on devarim, abamigva devarim. Lotasim damim. Zu mitzvahs lo sase. The Lord's lo tasim damim neisecha means that if you don't put up a makeh, you're not only not getting the mitzvah sase of putting up a makeh, you're violating the negative commandment of literally placing blood in your house. Now it's passive, granted, it's not like I bought a wild dog, it's not like I bought a shaky ladder, but nonetheless, I violate a lo tase merely by building a house and there's a roof, there's access to the roof, and there's no wall around the roof. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, if it's true that women are chayiv in all mitzvos lo tase, you should be able to ask me a question. Why does the Gemara tell me that the reason women are chayiv in makeh, aveda, shiluach hakein is because those are positive commandments unrelated to time? I'll give you a better reason why women are chayiv in those mitzvahs. Give me a better reason. Because there's a low sase associated with them. Of course. So why do I need the Gemara to say, oh, you know why women are chayiv in makeh, and aved shuram aveda shuram aveda? I'll tell you why. Because they're not dependent on time. Forget about that. That may be the reason why they're chayiv in mezuzah. But the reason they're chayiv in these mitzvahs is because there's a negative command, and women are chayiv in all the negative commandments. And let's go through the other ones. As we mentioned, Uva Aved Anami, the end of the first wide line in Tosis. Ksiv, Lo Suchal Hisalein, there's a lotase, don't ignore it. Don't make believe you're disappearing from the object. Uvishiluach Hakein, Ksiv, Lo Sikach Ha'em Alabanim, that's our topic. Don't take the mother bird with the children. You have to send away the mother bird. Vim kein ech yihyu nashim turos afilu heimzman grama. What's implied in this Gemara? What's implied is, had these mitzvahs been time-bound, women would have been exempt. The only reason the chayv is because they're not time-bound. Why would it be so that if they were time-bound, women would be exempt? They wouldn't be. They would be chayv in them because they have a lot, because there's a low tasa. Then came right after all. The Gemara Bava Kama compares a man, a woman, to a man regarding all punishments. All lotases, except those three that we mentioned, women are chayav to follow. So the reason why the Gemara is very misleading. Don't tell me the reason women are chayav in these mitzvahs is because they're not zman grama. Even if they were zman grama, they'd be chayav to follow them because they all have a negative commandment associated with them. Okay, so watch this. Says the Ri, the Omer Ri, I'll tell you why you need this Gemara. Because it's possible to disassociate the Aseh from the Los Aseh. It's possible to have the Aseh independent, where the Los Aseh no longer applies. And therefore, I would need the Gemara to say that women are chayiv. Why? Because it's not zman grama. How do you get rid of the lotase, and yet the ase is still there? So watch this. Look what he says. Omeri. Diviku mishkachas v'hu ase v'lolav. It's possible, in all of these cases, to find an ase without the lav. The positive without the negative. How? So look at this. Uvimake. Ein shayach lo tasim damim. Regarding putting up a makeh, the lav of lo tasim damim does not relevant or applicable. Elo b'bone bayis mitzchila is where you build a house to begin with. Al manas shel olasas makeh. Within mind, I'm not putting up a makeh. I'm building a house. It's ridiculous. I got some of these estimates for this, for the fence around the roof. It's ridiculous. They want like $2,000. No way. I'm not doing that. No one's going after the roof anyway. I'll keep it locked. No one's going to have access to it. I'm not building this. No way. No market. Not doing that. I have spent enough money on the house. Not doing that. So I build the house. And here I am. I'm building a house without a mind to put up a market. So that's a problem. But what if I build the house? I built the house. I'm planning up to put up the market. Right? I'm getting an estimate. Having done. And then, listen. I don't go up to the roof anyway. Now, I was planning on putting it up, but I'm a little lazy. The same way, the last thing, and we didn't do the grass yet. We don't have any of the, we didn't put something in the backyard, and we're still fixing something else up. Whatever. And I ignore it. Right? 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, 2 years, and there's still no maka there. Now, when I built the house, I planned on putting up the maka. So, are you going to tell me that I violated lo tosim domin b'vesecha when I made my house? I actually planned on what? On putting up a makeh. Says Tosfos. Listen to this, brilliant. Says Tosfos. He says, "Avol imhaya b'dato lasos makeh." I had in mind to put up a makeh. Ula achar shebino. After I built the house. Nimlach, I changed my mind. Osha asa, or I did put it up. Vinafal, and what happened? It fell down. I was a little bit lazy to put it back up. You're going to tell me, lotasim, I'm in violation of a negative commandment. No, I was very careful about that. I put it up the first time. I built the house from having money, not a Russia. Ein shom ela aseh diva asisa makeh. Oh, the only thing that's left is a positive commandment that I have not done yet. Well then, va'az nashim p'turos. Then women would have been exempt had it been Zman Grama. Why do I need the Gemara to tell me women are hiding in this mitzvah because it's not Zman Grama? Isn't there a low taseh associated with it? Not always. I could create a scenario where the low taseh is not there. A woman built a house, let's say, and had a mind to put up a maka. She put up a maka, and now it fell down. There's no lock. There's an assay. Ooh, does she have to put up a maka? Well, if it was Zman Grama, the answer is no. Because it's not Zman Grama, the answer is yes. But it's not because there's a lock. Because there I created a scenario where there's no lock. And same thing when it comes to Ashrama Saveta. Check this out. He says, what Uva Vedanami, Mishkachas la Ase Bololav, to go, Shenot la Nitala Amanas la Hakzira. What happened? I didn't ignore the item. I saw the item. I saw your knapsack. Your backpack was somewhere. You placed it somewhere. You lost it somewhere. You left it on a trip. And I picked it up. And I put it on the bus. And I'm planning on giving it back to you. And then I got a little bit lazy. I left it on the bus. And okay, I'll eventually call you. And whatever. The bus company goes. And they go back up. And whatever. So now, I didn't ignore it. I didn't violate the Tuchalitale. But now, I still haven't fulfilled Hashavas Aveda, says Tosfos. He says, Ukagon, Shenitala, Lithne Yir, she thinks, before you gave up hope. So there's still an obligation for me to return it. The Hashto Lespe, Lo Lav Lo Tuchalis Aleh. There's no Lo Tuchalis Aleh. I picked it up. The Gamleko Lav De Lo Tigzol Nami. I didn't violate stealing either because you didn't give up, because it's something that I plan on returning. I didn't plan on stealing when I picked it up. Aha! What I decide then, I'm not going to give it back. Change my mind. I like it for myself. Or maybe I'm just too lazy. You know, I started the Hashavah Saveda, but I decided, you know, I didn't take it to the point where I could actually return it completely. The Hashta ain't over Erlem Yishom Hashav Tishivei. Right? There's only an Aseh there. That women are, I would have thought women would be putter from had it been Zman Grama. Kamashmal and the Gemara de Chayavin. And now, finally, the last one. Shiluach HaKeinami. Kigod, what did I do? Shelach HaKeim Almanas L'Shaleach. What did I do? I took the mother bird. I was planning on sending her away. Okay. So, V'achar Kach Nimlach V'lo Shilcha. Then I changed my mind. I really feel bad. I wasn't going to take the trick. I really feel others. I feel so bad. You know, I sent away the mother bird, and, you know, she's not going to find them, and I feel all guilty. Emotionally guilty. Even though halakhically I should not feel guilty, I should be feel charged that I'm doing the right thing. So now, the hashto lekolav, ki imasei deshaleach l'shach. Look at that. There's no lav anymore. I didn't take the chicks. Right, along with the mother bird. No, I picked up the mother bird to send her away. Kamash malon, even when there's only an assay, women are therefore going to be chayiv in it, and it's not because there's a law. That's what Tosfos says. The problem is, to make such a dissociation is somewhat questionable, because in the end of the day, we don't look at a mitzvah in two separate scenarios. A mitzvah, there is a law associated with the mitzvah, then I look at that mitzvah in general as a package. It includes a lot aseh, it includes an aseh. Yes, technically I gave you a situation where there was no lav. But in the end of the day, when I look at the mitzvah shiluach hakein, makeh, and hashavas aveda, I look at that as a double mitzvah. I look at it as a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. To tell me that I need the Gemara to say, oh, well, women are chayiv in these mitzvahs, and not because of the lav, because of the assay. Why? Because I was somehow able to remove the lav. That already is somewhat questionable, and the Ramban disagrees with it. And the Ramban develops a fundamental principle with respect to these mitzvot, which may apply elsewhere. And that is, there are times where you look at a mitzvah that has an assay and a los assay, and you have to decide what's the ikar and what's the tafil. What's the primary component of the mitzvah? And what's and what is the secondary or ancillary component to the mitzvah? And the answer here, Ramban says, is that there's no doubt that the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is exactly what the mitzvah says. Shiluach HaKein is sending away the mother bird. There is a lo taseh associated with it, but this is a mitzvah saseh. The lav is a result of the aseh, but is not, and it's true that the lav may be something that's bringing the aseh, that causes the achiyah of the aseh, but in the end of the day, this is a positive mitzvah. Hashavas aveda. Does anyone look at Hashavas aveda as, oh, I better not ignore that. The Torah says don't ignore that. We don't look at Hashavas aveda. Hashavas aveda is a do, is an active mitzvah. I'm going to do it. And Makeh the same. And therefore, this is the Kol of Ramban. Okay, 1 second. Therefore, the Ramban says, I'm not bothered by this question. The reason why I would not say women are chayiv in this mitzvah automatically because there's a lav associated with it is because it's not a lav. It's a lav that results from the aseh. If the Torah says you must return something, it must mean the Torah doesn't want me to ignore it. If the Torah says, I want you to put up a makeh, it must be the Torah is concerned about someone getting hurt. So because of that, the Torah says, if the Torah says, I want you to send away the mother bird, so it's because I don't want you to take the chicks without the mother bird. But it's about sending away the mother bird. And in fact, that Zohar is very nice, because it shows you that it's not about just leaving, taking the chicks and not sending away the mother bird. It's about, I want the mother bird to be exiled, to serve as almost as a metaphor for the Jewish people in exile, or Hashem or with us in Galus, and that He's looking around for us, and that will be a reminder to us. So it's about the aseh, it's about the positive, and that's why. Don't say, well, I would have known women are chayiv in this mitzvah anyway. Why? Because there's a lo saseh. It's not about the lo saseh. The lo saseh, it's not shatnez, it's not chametz. Okay, it's not Melech HaShabbos. That's a lo saseh. These are lo saseh that result from an aseh, and it's very different. Yeah.
In the context of matzah, the Ramban saying that matzah, like the aseh, comes from the lo saseh?
No, so matzah is different. Matzah is because the pasuk says lo sochal olav chametz. There's a hekesh between chametz and matzah. That's different. Matzah is an exception. Only look at these examples. These three, besides mezuzah, are the only examples you can look at. Yeah.
Would you be chayav to shoo away the mother bird if it's a non-kosher bird? Because you're never going to be taking the eggs.
Right. So the Torah says no. The Torah actually learns from there that it has to be tzipor means tzipor tahara. Okay, it means a kosher. So now, so let's go back. Based on this, now we can ask the question in the last couple of minutes. Do I make a bracha on this mitzvah or not? So perhaps you could say that when we look at this mitzvah, the bracha may depend on this machlokas between Tosus and the Ramban. Why? Because if Tosus says, you look at this mitzvah, and the mitzvahs are lo saseh. They're lo saseh. Yes, there are times where I could avoid the lo taseh. But in the end of the day, I send away the mother bird because I don't want you to take the chicks. I put up the makeh. Why? Because I don't want you to have a dangerous house. Hashavas aveda, it's not so much about returning the object as not ignoring it and not having any sensitivity towards something that belongs to somebody else. If that's the case, then maybe what? Maybe I don't want to make a bracha on it. Do you make brachas on lo taseh? I'll give you one example, maybe we do. When it comes to marriage, the brachas erisin is shetzivanu al ha'arayos. We're commanded not to violate arayos. Okay, that's an exception. Generally speaking, the brachos that you recite are on the positive mitzvah. If the positive mitzvah is not necessarily the ikar, so maybe you don't need bracha. But according to Ramban, it's beautiful. According to the Ramban, it's all about the positive mitzvah. That's what it is. The lo taseh is a result of the positive mitzvah. But there is a mitzvah saseh that you're supposed to, I'm supposed to send away the mother bird. If that's the case, then I can understand very well whether I view this as the ikar is the aseh, then you make a bracha. If the ikar is a lo saseh, then perhaps you wouldn't recite a bracha. And there are other possibilities in understanding this, but generally speaking, we would make a bracha. We would make a bracha on this mitzvah. And that may be based on the fact that we look as these mitzvahs, Shiluach HaKein along with them, as positive commandments, Shalech to Shalach, I'm doing this mitzvah, and that may actually help explain also this approach of the Chavis Yoyim, which is what? The Chavis Yoyim, why would he even think that I have chance upon this mitzvah, and I don't plan on taking the chicks? No, but I want you to do the mitzvah anyway. You should do the mitzvah anyway. Because it's not about not taking the eggs and not taking the chicks. It's not about that. It's about sending away the mother bird. Whatever that mitzvah does, metaphysically, that's something that we should look to do. We should try to perform. That's why I make a bracha on it. That's why it may not matter that I'm not planning on sending away, not planning on taking the chicks. If it's all about the lotase, if it's all about, don't take those chicks without sending away the mother bird, then I understand it very well. It's about the lotase. So when I want to take the chicks, I send away the mother bird. If I don't want to, so what are you gaining by sending away the mother bird? But if it's about the mitzvah, it's about the aseh, that's the ikar, like the Ramban. It's about the bracha. So then I would say, of course, let's perform the mitzvah whenever you can. I don't have to go out of my way necessarily, the Gemara is saying, but I can see the Hava Mina, can't I? Ooh, maybe. Such an important mitzvah. Go look around for it. Vimachapes, the Gemara says. Maybe I should look around for it. Kamashma, that far I don't have to do. But maybe to the extent I should try to happen to come upon it, don't worry that you're not planning on taking the chicks. There's a positive mitzvah, recite a bracha, and perform this mitzvah, and maybe, just maybe, we'll remember what the mother bird hovering around, what message that teaches us, and Hashem will hopefully bring the gula as soon as possible. Yeah.
It makes sense from Tosos's perspective why there's a los ase, and there stems from it like this ase. There's kind of an incentive not to violate the los ase. Why do we need a los ase if the igar is the ase?
So the answer is we don't need it. What it means is, I want you to return this object. And if you'll ask, why is that so important? Well, see, look what happens if you don't. Right? That's not fair. That's not right. Now, I'll give you an example. Take Gazela, right? Would anyone say there's a mitzvah to return the object? So would anyone say that the ikar is the aseh? The losaf said lo tigzol, that's just secondary. That you wouldn't say. On the contrary, what's the ikar there? Don't steal. How do I rectify that? I return it. But in Hashavas Aveda is not that way. I'm not stealing anything. I'm not doing anything negative. All right? I'm ignoring something. Okay, I didn't do anything negative. But, you know, you should go out of your way. That's called Hashavas Aveda. And the same thing. I built a house. Did I put someone on the roof and throw them off the roof? That much I didn't do. But you know what? Passively, it's not appropriate. Do something positive. So I think even philosophically, when we look at mitzvos, when we can, I think this is a very positive approach. You know, we all have different approaches to how we associate with mitzvos and how we connect with them. I think it works for most people to say there's something very positive about this. It's not about, you know, let's say, a person comes to shul. So you could say, you know what? It's proper to be quiet during the hour. So why is that? Well, because it's disruptive to other people. Have a little respect, whatever it is. Forget that. That's obvious. How about the fact that I walked into a base Knesset? I want to connect with Hashem. What's the appropriate way to do so? So we work very well, certainly nowadays, with the positive reinforcement instead of the negative reinforcement. And that's the way we should approach some of these mitzvahs as well. Okay? If you didn't sign in, please sign in over there. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you so much.